and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Hello, and welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And our first story, unfortunately, is that Kofi Annan has died at the age of 80.
Wow, I really have not been looking at the news, apparently.
This was very recent, yes. So I only kind of knew who Kofi Annan was, and by kind of, I mean I generally confused him with other people. So when I saw this and I saw the picture of him, my first thought was that Desmond Tutu? My first thought was that Desmond Tutu had died, and I had to stop and go like, wait, no.
Right.
I know the name, but now who are you? And so anyways, Kofi Annan was a former United Nations Secretary General and a diplomat from Ghana. He's a Ghanaian diplomat, I wrote in my notes, but I decided to change it differently. So Ghanaian diplomat from Ghana. He was also a Nobel laureate. He won the Nobel Peace Prize, and he was the first Black African to lead the UN. Mm-hmm. And he did it for 2 5-year terms from 1997 to, I assume, 2007. 2 5-year terms is 10 years. So, but he had a hard time leading the UN because right as he's coming in, you know, a lot of changes going on in the late 90s and early 2000s. Super fun to be in charge of the UN at that point in time.
I'm sure it was ever great. Super fun to be in charge of the UN.
I mean, I'm sure there must have been some period of time that was like, you know, semi-relatively peaceful, but I don't actually know when that would have been. But I mean, during his first term, you get like 9/11 and all the wonderfulness that comes with that. And it's just like, awesome. And unfortunately, then the UN is just all sorts of levels of complicated. So I can't fully explain this, but he's sort of a lot of things they were talking about was a secular pope as the head of the UN. Mm-hmm. So he's there to be sort of a moral authority figure, but he doesn't really have any power. So he doesn't have any power that the Security Council of the UN doesn't give him.
Right.
So he doesn't actually command any troops. He doesn't have any source of income outside of what they give him. So it's like almost a lame duck president your whole entire term. It's like,
and
you
he
can't
had two
actually
of
do
them.
Anything. Exactly. But he was very much lauded, and a lot of people when he died were talking about this, about how even though, you know, his time at the UN was seen as somewhat controversial, he was always very much a humanitarian, and he did have to deal with some really difficult situations during his time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the name. I know he was, you know, the Secretary General of the United Nations, but I really didn't know much about him. So I actually need to read up on him.
Yes. And in looking up different things about him after the fact here, I saw that he was the first Secretary General to be chosen from amongst the international civil servants who make up the UN's bureaucracy. And I'm like, so is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is that better than who chose the UN Secretary General before that? Because the UN, all sorts of levels of confusing.
Yeah, I'm just realizing that I don't know a lot. Like I just said, I don't know a lot about Kofi Annan, and I don't think I know a lot about how the UN exactly is structured.
Right.
Now that I'm thinking about it, and I should know that.
Because, like, I know it was formed after we tried to form it after World War I, and that didn't quite work. So after World War II, we formed it differently, and that stuck around in the same way of something about the U.S. history and the original formation of Congress or something. All my history lessons, just my poor high school teachers, I do apologize. I have forgotten 98% of everything I supposedly learned. But that, I mean, the UN, you know, technically doesn't have any powers that the member states don't give it. If all the member states were like, you know what, we're not going to deal with that problem, we don't want to send our troops, it's not clear what exactly the UN could do about that if everyone else was like, we're not going to do it. It's like, okay, they don't hold their own troops. This is a coalition sort of thing that requires the various nations to work together mm-hmm. in order to achieve anything. And since obviously getting every single nation to work together is impossible, there's always going to be some problem we're dealing with.
Right.
So I was like, ah, now we have to go deal with the problem in that country. And then you get certain countries who are, you know, possibly allied with that country and putting them in an opposition. So to be the head person in charge of not the world, but kind of the world, would just be a big job, I think, for anyone.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about moderating anything. It can be difficult, but moderating
right
all of these different countries. And I mean, the UN to me is fascinating anyway, because you've got all of the translation that goes on during yes. any UN session. And I don't know, it's just, it's amazing, but also more complicated than I fully understand.
Yes. And I liked one of the people on Twitter said that Kofi Annan was like the UN itself, flawed but noble. A number of people said that he was a stubborn optimist, which I guess if you were the head of the UN and your whole thought was the UN should be, you know, a world force for good, you must be, because always problematic. He was evidently, he had played a major role where I think one of the articles I saw talked about how at that time the U.S. had sort of had an idea of what's the point of the UN and refused to give them funding or something. And he had played a big role in getting the U.S. to actually resume funding part of the U.N., whatever their funding responsibilities were. So he was majorly good for that. He also believed that young people are never too young to lead, which is a very nice sentiment, mm-hmm. even though I'm like, but really, are you sure? Because I'm like, there are some young people that like I'm just like...
three-year-old, maybe they shouldn't be leading.
Well, but even like, you know, some teenagers, I'm like, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you're a teenager and you'll get there in a few years, hopefully. So I don't know if I want those, but some of those people leading.
It depends on what you're leading, because yes. I think, you know, you're never too young to lead. Some people are always too young to lead. You yeah, know, there could be a person who is 60. Like 60. Yeah. No, you are not a leader in this area, but you're very good over here.
Right.
So I see his point.
It depends on the individual. You shouldn't have like a, you know, cap line of, oh, we won't let anyone lead younger than whatever age. It's like, well, you don't know. You right. have no idea. They could actually have some really interesting ideas because they're coming from a different position that you yourself have not thought about.
Exactly.
Yes. But he was also credited with revitalizing the UN and making it more a norm of humanitarian intervention. Whereas I think before his term, and especially, you know, since his first term started at 97, we'd only, you know, just really gotten out of the Cold War. And it was like, okay, so we're not, you know, off fighting wars or possibly fighting wars or preparing to fight wars with the never ending preparations and then never actually getting to war. What do we do with the UN, which was created, you know, essentially to stop the wars, if war is not exactly our main thought right now? Oh, what? We should actually go out and not only be like peacekeeping, but go out and do humanitarian efforts? Huh. Who'd have thunk it? So, yeah, a lot of praise for Kofi Annan. A lot of people sad at his passing. He got, you know, lots of, I wanted to say applause, but that's not what I mean.
Accolades?
Lauding. Mm-hmm. There was a law in there somewhere. Lots of lauding from various political leaders around the world. There was a lot of people talking about Nelson Mandela because he, I'm not sure if he was good friends with Nelson Mandela. There was a picture of him and Richard Branson, and I want to say the woman is someone related to Nelson Mandela for some walk, either honoring Nelson Mandela or something. So he clearly knew him, but you saw remarks on his passing from people like George and Barbara Bush, from various different leaders, from Richard Branson himself. So this has just now happened as of this recording, but clearly big news, and people who are involved in international anything, I'm sure, are sad at his passing.
Yes.
Yes. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. Our second story, thankfully, as far as I know, no one has died.
Oh, dear.
But it did end up with dozens and dozens of people overdosing in New Haven, Connecticut. Dozens of these, at least 30 of these, occurred themselves in a New Haven, Connecticut park. It's called the New Haven Green or something.
Uh-huh.
I've never been to a New Haven, but except I think to fly out of the airport near there, but B, also that feels like a very East Coast thing of the green, because I don't think we call our parks that here.
Right.
It's like, is that a square? Is that like a public area? I have no idea. But it is evidently a place where there seems to be a number of people congregating. A lot of these people seem to be homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be a situation that was going on there. This got all over social media, I think, because it was so many numbers. The last I heard, there was possibly as many as 80 or more. There were at least 71 within a 24-hour period that OD'd, and they had a very hard time keeping up with this with the emergency responders.
Well, yeah.
To the point that they'd take someone to the hospital. There were talks about kind of had to pass people who were themselves ODing because they were dealing with someone who was already ODing at that point. To the point when the police chief or the fire chief was giving a press conference about the situation, that press conference was interrupted by someone ODing.
Jeez.
And it's just like,
okay,
oh
so
my gosh,
what were they ODing on?
So this is believed to be K2, and K2 is a synthetic marijuana product, but itself is sort of a catch-all because K2 is often mixed with other drugs.
Do we need synthetic marijuana? I mean,
that
is
was my
regular
first
marijuana. Okay,
like, yeah, So I had to look this up because I don't know all the different states' marijuana laws. California, I know, is just everything's not legal,
right?
Essentially.
Yeah.
Connecticut evidently allows it for medical use, but not for recreational use.
Uh-huh.
So maybe there are people who do want recreational have to get synthetic. I'm not quite sure.
I'm not. Okay.
So K2 is also known as spice. It's frequently laced with other drugs. And there were evidently in 2014 over 175 different synthetic cannabinoids reported. And I'm just like, are you kidding? I don't smoke weed, and I know, you know, there are lots of different marijuana things themselves, and some of them have the really interesting names. And I'm just like, are these like the same people who like work for Ben and Jerry's and come up with those names? Who's coming up with these names
and
for things?
Things that I've read, again, I don't either smoke marijuana or do anything really with it, but I've read other things where it's almost like wine tasting, or
right.
You know, you can go to these places and there's different varieties, and there's this is a little more mellow and this does this, and so you
this
can
one has a nice aftertaste of stuff. I'm like, right. Really?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So there is thoughts that this K2 that this sort of epidemic was occurring with may have been laced with fentanyl.
Okay.
Which is one of the major opioids of the opioid crisis currently happening, and it has actually now been used both in America and other places as a lethal injection drug.
Oh, wow.
So clearly not something you want to mess around with, to which, again, my mind is, okay, never mind synthetic cannabinoids. Are you purposefully knowingly putting fentanyl in this? Why? Like, okay.
Well, and if it's an opioid, we're purposely using it for other things.
But like for the person who, it is evidently come out that the people who tended to OD on this, a lot of these people were just given the drugs.
Okay, so was it a plot? I'm now having conspiracy theories. Were they trying to kill people? Like, we have a homeless problem in this park. Let's just give them laced drugs.
That's terrible. I certainly hope not.
I hope not either, but,
There was someone who was arrested, and that person evidently has a bit of a history. They're known to police. It's not clear. They're still not sure what exactly was in the K2 because from different sources that, you know, victims that were taken to the hospital gave them. Some of them didn't have fentanyl. Some of them didn't even have K2. So it's like, what is this? But it did evidently come out that these people were given these drugs. They didn't buy them because a number of them were homeless. They didn't even have the money to buy drugs. Mm-hmm. Someone was going around. Maybe they thought they were doing them a favor and giving everyone a good time. But in order to have enough, you know, cut their marijuana with K2. Again, I have no idea how K2 even works. Do you cut marijuana with K2? Right. Do you just push, like, mix it all together and then allot it out into different things? I have no idea. But yeah, so that person has been arrested, but it has not been released how much that person knew, what that person was doing. Was that the person who was handing out drugs?
Right.
But like, you can actually find videos of this. There's one video in which emergency responders are trying to chase down a man who is clearly ODing, but has like refused medical attention. And so they have to like chase him down and almost tackle him before he gets into the street. And I'm just like,
wow. I mean, yeah, when you're
ODing, really
in your right mind. Yeah.
But yeah. So, and there were stories of people who had ODed, been taken to the hospital, then come back to the park and ODed again that same day.
Dang. See, having never really used drugs,
right?
I mean, I understand that there's definitely a mental component and it's an addiction, but right. I haven't been there, so I don't understand. To me, that just sounds crazy, but I understand that it's beyond my comprehension.
Yes. And I think why this got so much attention is if you didn't know this was because of K2, you'd be thinking, was there like some sort of poisonous gas or something released in the city? Like, why are there dozens of people ODing
right
in this one area of the park as it's currently happening? And over a 24-hour period, you know, 70 plus people, like, they actually had to, at one point, there's a drug that they give for drug ODs called naxalopine, and I've probably just completely messed that up. And they actually like ran out of that and had to get a source from some other part of the state.
Sure.
Because it was like, we don't have enough because we're not, you know,
well,
that big of a emergency response system.
Whoever's doing the ordering didn't think in their head, you know, I feel like there's going to be over, let's say, dozens of OD right. overdoses. I'm going to order a bunch more of this. You have like to be psychic.
Yeah, you don't really plan for that in advance. You plan for, on the general, this is how much we need. And then if you've suddenly got 70, 80 plus cases in a day, it's like, well, crap.
Right.
What do I do there? So, I mean, as far as I know, nobody has died. They were able to get everyone that they did know about
mm-hmm.
to emergency centers. And unfortunately, the first reports of these ODs came in right as they were doing like shift change at the emergency. I'm going to go hospital, but I don't think it was exactly the hospital. I think it was like, you know, the people who go out and bring people into the hospital. But whatever that was happening, so people were just getting off shifts and we're just now getting new people on. And then, oh, hey, there's a lots of reports of ODs, and we had to bring in, you know, a bunch of people who probably weren't meant to work that day to deal with this because this is a sort of all hands on deck situation. Yeah, like the person who was doing the press conference said that in his however long he'd been doing his job, he'd never seen anything like it. And you just see these videos. Thankfully, you don't really see anyone too bad on them. You always sort of catch these videos after the fact. Mm-hmm. Like someone's really realized, oh my gosh, something's going on there. Maybe I should get out my phone. But by that point, you know, emergency responders have gotten there. But there was a lot of things like people literally dropping around me like flies as emergency response people are like, okay, I've got this one, but then there's that one. And I'm just like, I can't imagine. Like if I didn't know what was going on, but I was in that area, I would think it was like the apocalypse or something.
Wow.
Be like, is this the
it
end
It does
of the world?
Sound like the beginning of a dystopian movie or series.
Right?
Yeah.
Like my first thought when I heard it, it was like, it's like Contagion, but with drugs. And that's terrifying to me. And I really do want to know what was in this person's mind. Like, did they not know that the K2 was bad? I'm trying to figure out in any sense whenever the K2 would not be bad, because it's like itself is a synthetic marijuana and then you lace it with other drugs, which just from all the reports you hear about drugs, lacing with never sounds good.
Yeah.
like there was thoughts on the part of the emergency responders that it might have also been laced with PCP, the testing didn't necessarily support that. But again, they didn't have everything that everyone had smoked. they only had a few samples from some of the people who were brought in. So it's possible if it was laced with multiple things, some batches of that were stronger than others. Some people got a stronger dose than others, or what they were able to still have as they were brought in, you know, wouldn't necessarily have the drug. So they're still working on figuring out what was in the K2, where this came from, who this person was that is unknown to the police that's currently in custody, what their motivation was. Like, there's still a lot of unanswered questions, but there was so much of, well, crap, we've got to deal with people and not let them die.
Well, that right.
We couldn't quite get to
the questions.
You have
to deal
yet.
With the problem in front of you before
right,
you can.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, just very shocking story. So definitely hope that all things will turn out well in New Haven.
Yes.
So we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. To end this episode on a bit more of an upbeat thing,
oh, good.
Our first two stories were just sort of like, oh, the really nice guy died, and oh man, someone is being down. I was like, man, people are just,
Do we have a like puppy story, or I don't know?
Well, we have a the internet is not completely terrible story. And in fact, to the point of the internet can actually be used for good story.
Okay. I mean, because the internet is not completely terrible. Doesn't sound like the upbeat story right. I'm looking for, Stacey.
It's the, you know, the good side of the force of the internet. So what ended up happening is that the internet actually helped solve a fatal hit and run.
Oh, okay.
Because the internet just exists to, you know, be detectives on things. But
oh,
usually
sure.
It's like, you know, if someone's secretly engaged or dating or whatever.
Right,
ridiculous
right.
things that does that really matter in your life at all? But in this case, this was in Washington State. A bicyclist was hit and killed by a hit and run.
Mm-hmm.
And the detectives in charge of it shared online the only piece of evidence they had, which was a black piece of plastic. And I just right away, kudos to the internet and also the detectives for even figuring out what the heck that is. Because I looked at it and was like, are you sure that's from this? Because
so,
it's trash to me. I don't know what
right.
that is.
Is it a black piece of plastic? How big? I mean, I'm just curious.
It looks like it's about 3 or so inches long. And it's a very specific thing. It's got a little curve thing and then it's got a little U cut out of it. And so you can clearly tell it's from something, but I wouldn't have a clue what that's from.
Right.
So obviously, since this is a hit and run, they immediately were like, oh, probably from a car. So the detectives are
My theory, maybe I'm just cynical. You know, okay, so it's this piece of plastic. We're assuming it's from the car. It could have just been lying there. Like, it could have been here before the hit and run. Okay, but I'm glad it wasn't.
Yes. But so the detectives saw the piece of plastic and can figure out it's probably from a car. We think it might be from either a pop-up headlight or a headlight from an old 1980s truck.
Oh, okay.
How they figured, I don't do cars at all, so I'd be completely, like, useless in a witness scene of, like, you know, what type of car was the suspect driving?
Blue.
Right? Exactly. Yep. It was a car, not a truck. That's all
right.
I got.
It was a coupe. I mean, it was a four-door. It wasn't, you know, I could maybe say it's stuff like that, but I couldn't tell you.
I don't even have that. I'm just like, it's a car or a truck or an SUV.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's all I've got. I'd also be, like, useless with, like, how tall was the suspect? Nope. nothing.
Taller than me, but most people are.
Like, unless that's what I would like, say. Have the security footage where you're at, like, if you're at a convenience store. You know,
and they've got the tape by the door.
On the door. Yes. Nothing. How much, you know, how much would you estimate he weighs? Cannot do that. I just, no.
No, I'm always wrong.
I'm, like, I know witness testimonies aren't that useful anyways because people tend to remember things differently, but I wouldn't remember it at all. I have no knowledge for the situation.
I got nothing.
So thankfully, I've never been in this. But the detectives were able to figure out, and once you see the pictures that they posted of like, okay, these are, you know, sample versions of pop-up lights, I'm like, ah, I see how you get that. And also, wow, because, yeah, no, I even if I knew it was a hit and run with a car, that wouldn't have been my first thought. I would have been like, UFO, it's a piece of trash. Or are you sure this didn't somehow come off the bicycle?
Right.
But so anyways, they shared that on the internet and then people, and it's not clear because the ones I saw were on Twitter, but it's not clear if, you know, people, they did post this on the official Washington State Police Twitter thing,
mm-hmm.
but they were like, you know, please contact us. And it's not clear if people contacted them through the Twitter or if someone was just like, oh, also, by the way, I contacted them otherwise, but on Twitter, I think it's this. Or mm-hmm. if a person was just like, you know what, without even contacting, it's this. Because they exist just to be armchair detectives, as some people do.
Was there a hashtag, though? So, like, if you were the detective, you could actually go on Twitter and see what people were saying with the hashtag?
I don't think there was a hashtag, but I did see a number that were at them. So they were adding in response to them.
Okay.
But I don't know that the detectives created a hashtag specifically for this case. It was just, you know, contact. And this happened in, and I've never been to Washington State, so I don't know how. I assume a good portion of it's rural because the first thing they posted was, you know, bicyclist killed today at sort of like really random route number at really random route number, mm-hmm. seemingly in the middle of nowhere, like not street names. It seemed like these were like, you know, highway numbers or something. So
right. Yeah,
even harder for me, though, again, people who know cars and route numbers are probably like, oh, this is simple. I got this.
Outside of Seattle and Spokane, Washington's pretty rural.
Yes.
Yep.
So the people on the internet and or Twitter were able to narrow down that it actually most likely came from a 1980s Chevy.
Okay.
Instead of the pop-up lights look like those ones that you would have seen in the old, I'm going to go with 1980s just because that's old for me. 1980s convertible cars where the lights aren't shown until you want them to. And yeah. Then they sort of flip
pop up.
Yeah, exactly. But when I saw that description, I was like, what? A what headlight?
Oh, really?
I don't know anything about cars, but what are you talking about? And then saw the picture. I was like, oh, okay. Got it. So, yeah, they were able to narrow down that it was probably from a something 1980 Chevy. They were then able to narrow down even further that it was likely from a 1988 Chevy Silverado.
Wow.
I don't know how you do that. Even if I knew cars by, like, A, even beyond make, but to model, how do you know what year is what? Like, I never got that. It's like, oh, it's a 19. How do you know that? Does it say on the car and I just never noticed? Like, how do you know what model is from what year?
People just do. I mean, it's, you know, it's like anything. If you're passionate about something, you know lots of details that other people don't.
Or if it's your job, as the cops all seem to.
Yeah.
You know, suspect is driving a blue 1960. I'm like, dude, what? Seriously?
Well, the cops have a slight advantage in that they can look up the registration.
Okay, but in the heat of the moment, I don't think they can. If it was like suspect in a whatever shot at us, and
right,
they
right.
call that over the radio.
But other times, they do at least they can look up the registration. But
yes, so cops have a, you know, a study guide or not a study guide. What's those ones you could buy, those laminated ones?
Oh,
that you see in stores. It's like, here's everything you need to know quickly about anatomy
right,
or Spanish
right.
verbs. I'm like, no, but yeah, cops clearly much better than me. They from this knowledge that, you know, this is probably the light itself someone put up seemed to be from 1983 to 1984 Chevy. But then they were like, oh, this is probably from a 1988 Chevy. Again, I don't know how you figure that out. And I'm now just having that scene from My Cousin Vinny in my head.
Okay.
The court scene about them just discussing cars and cars made at a certain time would have it. I'm like, yep, still completely over my head. But from this, the sheriff's department then got a local anonymous tip that led them to arrest the driver of a 1986 Chevy.
Oh, so okay.
Within those years.
And so they were wrong. No, sorry.
Again, how you know years, I've got nothing. But they did post a picture of this truck, which did have one of the headlights, the plastic part around it was gone and it was dented in there. And I'm just like, well, look at you, internet. Like, just not even doing it. Like, this is why supposedly we invented the internet.
Using your powers for good, not evil, right? Not trolling.
Like, the whole purpose of us being able to communicate anything at any time was not for ridiculous things and or stupid memes, but for knowledge and sharing of knowledge, so they say. And it's very nice to see that happen every now and again, especially for something like this, to find someone who was involved in a fatal hit and run. That's definitely something, you know, you want to see justice for. So it was like, I almost want to do like a slow clap for the internet. Or, like, look at that.
I was going to high five the internet, but yeah.
I mean, you possibly could. Internet of Things, we're getting there. There's a high five machine, I'm sure, somewhere.
Well, there's high five emojis.
We will high five emoji this. And on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.